Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, and that can only mean one thing. Well, it can mean more than one thing, can't it? Depending on what you are up to today. But right here, right now, it can only mean one thing, and that is it is the Ben Briggs podcast. There we go. It is Sunday, people. Sunday, the 22nd of October. 2023. It is approximately 11 o'clock in the morning, and I am up bright and breezy and chirpy today, people. I've already done a shitload of stuff. Yeah, living my best life, whatever the fuck that means. I don't know why people say that, really. What other circumstances have you got going on at the moment that you need to form some sort of hierarchy of what constitutes you living your best life and what activities you are doing at the moment that qualify for that. I don't know. We're getting a bit too deep already, aren't we? Anyway, I have started the day early, people. I got back late last night. I'll go through that gig in a minute. Holy fucking shit. I got back late last night and I was up early. I have restarted swimming, by the way. I know I haven't said about it for the last few weeks. So I was on sabbatical of being a lazy fuck and not going. But the guilt got to me too much. That's what they don't tell you when you sign up for the gym, isn't it? That comes with added guilt trip. That's in the fine print, isn't it, at the bottom. So I went swimming this morning. There was hardly anyone there because it's cold outside and everybody seems to want to stay in bed when it's cold outside, which I perfectly can't blame them. I would have stayed in bed, but I actually slept on the sofa last night. I'm one of those people. I don't know if, you know, I'm one of those people. It's too far some nights to go to bed, so I'll sleep on the sofa. I'm essentially squatting in my own flat. That's it. We've done this already, I think. So I slept on the sofa last night after getting back from last night's gig. I went swimming this morning. The one thing you don't realize is in the summer when you go to the gym and that, how little they put the heating on in the changing rooms. I don't know what that's for, whether it's a shock to the system, whether it's like some sort of company policy, or it's to save money, basically, isn't it? That's what it's for. We all know what it's for. Just put a bit of fucking heating on in the changing rooms when you get out of the swimming pool. Jesus Christ. I spent all last night freezing my tits off in a theatre because they didn't switch the heating on because it gets a little bit too warm in the foyer. It's fucking winter. It's fucking winter. Just stick the fucking heating on so the acts don't have to freeze to fucking death in the fucking green room. Ah! There's nothing worse than being absolutely freezing cold. I'm dressed in a shirt. I've got the sleeves rolled up because that's my fucking look for the stage, because I don't want to wear a jumper now. I've got to buy a load of fucking black jumpers to wear for winter because everywhere you go, everybody's economizing these days. In it, everybody's pinching pennies everywhere they can. But anyway, last night I was in Huntingdon. That's what I'm saying. It was fucking cold. I've done this gig a few times, and it's always quite nice. I was emceeing. It was probably about, I think there was about the woman who kept coming in with a radio. They're all high tech at theatres. They've got a radio mic on. There's a woman who ushers you towards the stage. She's there on the little radio saying, "I have the MC standing in the wings. Okay, let's do this. Let's build this up." And then you get a weird, massive introduction, which is far too big, by the way, for the likes of me. A massive introduction saying, "Clap your hands and stamp your feet. Here's your master of ceremony." You don't have to say that. You don't have to say all of it, the whole shit, the whole shebang. He's your master of ceremonies. Just say MC. Everybody knows what an MC is, or compere. Yeah, you don't have to say master of ceremonies. You know, it's not like 1980s fucking hip-hop where they were educating people into the scene, is it? You know, everybody knows what an MC is these days. Everybody knows what a compere is. Anyway, that's my little... it just makes me sound like a fucking lame ass. Anyway, the gig itself was lovely. The theatre's nice. It was nice and fun. All the acts did really well last night, which is always nice. Although the green room was fucking... And then every time you took a piss and flushed the toilet... And, you know, I take a regular piss at every gig. I don't know what it is, whether it's that fight or flight mode. You know, you're emptying your bowels to become light so you can move a little bit quicker. I had about four pisses last night. And the plumbing system... Every time you flush the toilet, the plumbing system was that loud and went on just like... went on for about 5 minutes after you flushed the chain. Jesus Christ. Maybe it was frozen, I don't know, but that was one of the coldest green rooms I've... I know. This is early days in winter as well, people, isn't it? It's October. It's not like it's December or January when it regularly gets fucking really cold. But this is early days. It's the first shock to the system, I think, that I've had this year, particularly anyway. The first shock to the system, the first little bit of a cold spell. And you're like, oh, I forgot this. I completely forgot this. I'm going to have to wear thermals. I'm going to have to get like black jumpers to wear on stage just so I'm a little bit warmer. I don't know why they just can't heat somewhere. It can't be that expensive. You've got a sold out room, you know, if you can't afford to stick the heating on as well. It gets too warm in the foyer. Well, you know, like have less menopausal women working on the door. Employ some teenagers. Yeah. I don't know. Let's have a little bit of coffee. The one thing that was a little bit controversial last night, there was two couples sitting on the front row, one to the right as you're looking out from the stage and then one to the left. There was the couple to the right were clearly, he was clearly a lot older than her. He sold cars or something like that. I don't know. Not that I ought to be asking people what they do for a living, but you know. I was clutching at straws at the start of the evening, and you default into that, don't you? That's what you do, isn't it? You don't want it to become part of your repertoire that you say every time, hey, what do you do for a living? And then fucking, you know. But anyway, and then she was a teacher, and they were very hands-on with each other. You know, like there was fucking, you know, hands going on legs and shit like that. And then they were the only front row and there was no row behind them. Everybody had sat behind them. For some reason, nobody wants to sit at the front at a comedy show. And for some reason, nobody ushered people to the front to say, just sit there, it'll be fucking fine, you know. So I've got one couple one side, one couple the other side. As I'm walking out on stage, first of all, by the way, they've got a smoke machine going. So I walk out on stage like some out of Stars in Their Eyes or somebody who's just let one off, just out of curry about 2 hours before and let one off just before I go on stage. It was like there was a vape convention going on. So I walk out into smoke. There's fucking lights like right in my eyes and I can't see nothing apart from the first two rows. That's all I can see. So I can see this couple, this side, fingering each other and fucking getting off with each other and shit like that. Why would you sit right at the front of a comedy show and do that? I don't know, whether it's some sort of weird voyeurism shit, they get fucking hard and wet because somebody else is watching them, I have no idea. And then the other side to the left of the stage, as you're looking out on my left-hand side, there's another couple in wheelchairs. Who were fucking lovely, by the way. Not that they wouldn't be, you know. Are you saying that because they're in a wheelchair that they're not lovely people, Ben? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I didn't get a chance to speak to them until the second section because I got hung up on talking to these people and then hung up on talking to some other teacher who was absolutely fucking wasted. And I had that thing where I was talking to her, and we've all done it at times. I'm talking to her because she shouted something out. She shouted out, I think I asked who was single. Nobody was single apart from her. She shouted out, although it turned out she wasn't single. She was just having a, I'm having a laugh, son. And I'm just having a laugh. I'm next to my fucking boyfriend and I, having a fucking laugh, having a go at him and I. So I was talking to her, and you know, you have that every now and again when you're talking to somebody and you're like, are they fucking drunk or actually just a bit mentally slow? And it took me a while to work out, because she was slurring her words that much that I could have sworn she had some sort of head injury. I swear to God. Some sort of, I don't know. She's had a partial lobotomy that hasn't taken. You know what I mean? There's something wrong there, but you can't quite put your finger on it. You're like, you're taking too long to say that sentence. And because it's the start of the night, I didn't twig, first of all, that she's actually absolutely fucking hammered. And so this is at like about 7:45 at night. She's absolutely fucking wasted. She's a teacher as well. These are the people educating your children, by the way, people out there. If you have children, if you're unfortunate enough or fortunate enough to have kids, I don't know how you feel about it. Yeah, it's nice passing on your genes and your DNA and stuff like that, but it don't half cost you a fortune, doesn't it? It'll possibly be easier to just masturbate onto a flannel and put it in a freezer and have that cryogenically frozen if you want to pass on your DNA and genes to somebody. Or become a sperm donor or an egg donor. That's it. That's what you do in it. You don't have to bring them up. That's the ideal scenario, isn't it? That's what we're told, isn't it? We're told we're meant to be passing on our genes and DNA. Although, you know, I think there ought to be a blanket ban on some people, but that goes to, you know, that's a little bit eugenicsy, isn't it? But I don't know. Yeah, so if you want to pass on your DNA or something like that and you want to do it on a budget, just become a sperm donor. You can meet up with them after they're 18. You know, you get a knock at the door. Hey, son, come on in. How you doing? Ah, Jesus, you got that sort of... you didn't get all the best genes there, did you? But never mind. Jesus Christ, I don't know what the fuck's going on outside. Some sort of ambulance or something, is it? I have no idea, but you probably didn't even hear that. Anyway, let's get back on. So the other teacher's absolutely hammered. The couple at the front, they're all hands all over each other. They're sitting on their own. They're directly in front of the stage. There's an empty row behind them. The rest of the row is empty, apart from the gap. Then there's a gap. Then there's the disabled people sitting at the front in the wheelchairs. No need for chairs. They've bought their own. It was quite a sweet story about them, actually, how they met. They sort of like, it seems like he pretty much relentlessly stalked her, which I imagine is quite easy to do if you're both in wheelchairs. They were both in wheelchairs, by the way. All you need is a slightly faster wheelchair than the woman you're stalking, and she's got no way of getting away from you. She's not running upstairs or anything like that. You know, you're just following her at ramps, that sort of thing, trying to talk to her, you know. But it seemed to work out for the guy. But apparently that was the case between them. And he was relentlessly after her. And then she moved into the area and moved into near where the flats that he lived, or lived in the same flat complex or something where he lived, and there you go, there you have it. Now they're a couple, been together 10 months, loving it. I'm all for that. I did that. I didn't want to. A lot of people feel uncomfortable talking to disabled people. Or you see that, don't you? You see that when, like, you know, disabled people are out and people, you know, are talking to them and they're just fucking patronising them, aren't they? Just talking over their heads like they're fucking stupid. It's just my legs that don't work. My brain's fucking fine. I'm not the woman three rows back who's absolutely hammered, who you can't work out whether she's retarded or not. I know you're not meant to say retarded anymore, but nobody calls retarded people retarded anymore, do they? You know, even though I just did. There. Sorry, I'm this is a fucking digging myself into a hole here. But nobody does that anymore, do they? Nobody calls, you know, people with learning disabilities or anything like that. They don't call them retarded anymore, do they? You call your fucking mate retarded, he's just had a shit idea. Even though it's, you know, at one point was a medical term, then that's the weird thing, isn't it? How terms are actual medical terms, and then you have to, then they have to be revised because those medical terms become an insult. Isn't it? So they have to revise that medical term because everybody's just gone, eh. That's what happened with Scope, isn't it? Scope used to be the Spastic Society. And then the word spastic became a fucking insult. So they've had to change their name because everybody was like, no, we're keeping this as an insult for people. Even though I haven't heard that term for years, even though I've just said it. I've never, you know, I never used to fucking say the spaz, wasn't it? There was a spaz thing. That was an insult in the 80s, I think. We're not going to go through all of them, people. If this is triggering to anybody out there, you know, just switch it off. that's what you can do, isn't it? But anyway, so... back to this couple at the front who are like, basically, he's wearing her as a glove puppet. He's got his fucking hand halfway up a coochie. He's sitting in the front row. She's all over him. She's fucking massaging his dick, all that sort of thing. And all they're doing all through the whole thing is just talking. So they're just like, they're pissed. I've tried to engage with them at the start. The first section went all right. And then the second section starts. They're still all over each other. Like, they're, you know, it's like they've just met. It's like they're sitting in a fucking bar somewhere. They've turned around to each other. They've realised they've got a load in common. They've both been injected with fucking Viagra and they're all over each other. They're like two octopuses at this point who have just found out that they're the last octopuses on Earth. And for some reason, they're both attracted to each other and they're just fucking, they're essentially dry humping in the front row of a comedy club. You don't have to buy a ticket for that. You know, that's what you feel like saying. You don't have to buy a ticket to be here to do that, right? You can do that for free at home. It's easy, you know, unless... which I've only just realised, unless it was some sort of affair thing going on. I don't know, it might be, mightn't it? Maybe that's the one outlet. They both say to their respective partners, oh, I'm just popping out to the comedy club tonight and then just end up swapping fluids on the front row. But anyway, it was kind of weird from a comparing perspective. I sort of like brought it up and that sort of thing. And then the second act goes on. He's doing really well. And then there's a bit of a commotion, sort of like that I can hear from backstage, because I'm standing in the wings, just watching from like the side of the stage. There's a bit of a commotion. There's a cheer goes up. There's raised voices. And then the act's just sort of like standing, looking, you know, a little bit gobsmacked. And at the end of the second section, like I close the second section, everybody goes on a break. The promoter comes through, or the brother of the promoter, because the promoter weren't there. He comes through and goes, oh, yeah, they've chose to leave because they can't basically finger fuck each other on the first row. She's been complaining about how they've been treated. You're sitting at a comedy show around people who have organised to come out that night and not see you two do a live performance of, like, teenagers getting off with each other. I imagine they went to the nearest bus bike shed just to finish each other off. I have, you know, what a weird thing, isn't it? What's wrong with people? You know what I mean? What's wrong with people where people don't know how to behave in public? Can you imagine that at a theatre? You're watching Shakespeare and somebody's like squeezing a digit into somebody else on the front row. Is that a dagger I see before me? No, it is a coochie being prized open by a thumb. let's have some coffee. Fucking weirdos everywhere. I swear to God. Weirdos. Absolutely everywhere in the world, isn't it? That woman's a teacher. She teaches kids between the age of 4 and 8. That's what she told me. And she's sitting on the front row of a comedy club at the weekend with possibly not her partner. Not that I'm judging the morality of adultery. You know, we've all done it, haven't we? We've all done that sort of thing. Somebody who's married or got a partner and you're like, oh, I've got a bit of a liking to her. And she's like, oh, I've got a bit of a liking for you for a bit. I want a bit of excitement in my life too. Boom, there you go. Now go back to your husband. Have a happy life. Cheerio. I should have done that with other people, but it progressed into a relationship. 7 years of your life gone. Anyway. That's other stuff, isn't it? That's other stuff. The rest of the night went great. It was lovely. I managed to get in the car, stick the fucking heater on. Still so pissed off with that. I knew it. I was going to wear a lighter jacket last night. I felt like a racehorse coming off stage MC and master of ceremonying, as the intro guy kept saying. MCing last night, putting my jacket on as soon as I came off stage because it was that fucking cold. I don't know. I'm not built for the cold. I know I'm white. I am pasty white as well. You know what I mean? I should be better at handling the cold than I am. I am literally genetically modified. My ancestors come from Africa, right? So I imagine they weren't white. If we go back further enough, I have been genetically modified for a cold climate. My skin has lightened so I can get some fucking vitamin D. I'm genetically modified for a cold climate and I don't hold up to a cold climate at all. Even sitting here now, it's not even that cold. It's not even that cold out and my feet are fucking cold. I've got slippers on. Yeah, because I'm an old man. Is that it? Yeah, it is. That's it. I should be better at handling the cold than I am. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to wear thermals to go on stage. It's not a great look. Anyway, what else have you been up to this week, Ben? Well, I have been watching the news of the horrendous things going on in Israel and Palestine. I was a bit flippant. I was a bit flippant in last week's episode about the things going on in Israel and Palestine. I didn't realise there was like 1,400 Israelis killed in that attack. Jesus Christ. Hamas putting up numbers, aren't they? Like fucking Jordan in his prime. It's horrendous shit going on out there. That's never going to be solved. I don't think, it's just going to escalate in that area. Isn't it? It's just like horrendous things going on both sides, isn't it? Somebody, you know, something horrendous happens and then somebody counterattacks with something else horrendous and it's just fucking, depressing. And then people posting on social media, like they've just come up with the idea. They're posting a picture of an Israeli and a Palestinian talking to each other and saying, this is how the world should be, and everybody liking it. Like, really? Honestly, you've just had that thought, yeah? Oh, what a revelation that the world should be people talking instead of fucking killing each other. Holy shit, give that person a fucking Nobel Peace Prize for posting that fucking meme up. Of course the world should be like that, you fucking idiot. Ah, Jesus Christ, it's not a revelation, you know. It's not a massive revelation, is it? But the world, that's not going to solve anything, you know. And everybody's liking it because they're like, hey, look at me, I want to be nice about stuff too. I'm a good person. Look, I like this. That achieves nothing. All of those posts, those soppy fucking posts like that, they just achieve nothing. Nothing whatsoever. That's never going to solve the situation. Nobody in Hamas or the Israeli government is looking at that meme and go, holy fucking shit. Stop the fucking bombing and the fucking attacks. We've got it all wrong. What we need to be doing is posting memes on Facebook. And we can solve this situation in no time. That'll bring those 1,400 people who are killed. 1,400 people. Jesus fucking Christ, man. And I know there's losses on both sides, but it seems more like in Gaza, it's more Palestinian. Well, you know, like it was innocent Israelis who died, but like fucking bombing fucking hospitals and shit like that. Jesus Christ, man. What is the world coming to? I don't know. Well, it's not what it's coming to. It's what it's always been, isn't it? Really. When we get down to it, isn't it? Anyway, let's talk about something else. I've just watched a documentary this morning. Holy fucking shit, Ben. You're on it today. After going swimming, I came back, had a coffee, had two bananas, I'm on a health kick, and a decidedly dodgy yogurt. I can never tell with a yogurt whether it's... I hate opening a yogurt and it's watery. You know what I mean? That always sends alarm bells, even though the date on it is the 28th of December, and that's 6 days' time. It shouldn't be as watery as it is. I added black cherry yogurt. Watery, I had to mix the water in. Ugh. But I was watching a documentary about the Spider-Man of Paris. I know. If you've never seen this guy, Yeron Torich. Torich? Yeron Tonich is a French guy. Well, I think he's of Bosnian descent, but lives in Paris. And he used to climb up, obviously, and that's why they call him the Spider-Man. It's just used to leave webs of jizz everywhere, all over. But it'd like climb up to like apartments, rich people's apartments, and that, because he had the idea that people who lived higher up are less concerned about security. It'd start doing DIY as he was burgling people. He'd be taking out window frames and shit like that. You know, he was fucking a very talented guy at what he did. He ripped off, like, he'd be taking screws out of, like, window frames, covering them over again so it didn't look as though anybody had been there. And he'd burgle places when people were home and asleep, which takes some fucking balls. All you got to do is break into the wrong person's house. Like those people who broke into Duncan Ferguson's house and absolutely got a battering. All you got to do is break into the wrong person's house. But he'd break in. I mean, although saying that, he was quite a big guy, but was never violent with people or anything like that. And sort of like saw it as a noble thing to do, freeing up money from the millionaires. You know, it was kind of like a Robin Hood who gave to himself and spent the money on prostitutes. Basically, that's what he was. If Robin Hood had robbed from the rich and spent it on pussy. That would have been this guy. But, you know, he's living in Paris. He's a French guy. What else is he going to spend his money on? He's going to spend it on red wine, cigarettes and pussy. That's it. And then in the actual documentary, he says, well, I did waste a lot of money. But it's got a voiceover. You know, anybody doing a voiceover on those things, they always give the flattest accent. Have you noticed that? Like, the flattest accent. There's no sort of, like, rhythm in the voice or sort of, like, ups and downs or anything like that. It's like somebody's reading. Well, they are reading from a script, I imagine. Just reading. There's no emotion in the voice or anything like that, or any laughs or anything when somebody's doing a voiceover. I'd rather read subtitles now, I think. But the only thing is, when you read subtitles, you've got to give it your undivided attention. You watch a foreign film with subtitles on, and you have to give it your undivided attention. You can't just have it on in the background, which is probably why I don't watch as many foreign films as I should do. But it's a fascinating documentary. I mean, he broke into, like, some gallery, stole five photos, like, works of art, and then sold them. And they were worth $100 million. That's how much they were worth, apparently, these works of art. And he got paid $50,000 each for them. I mean, wouldn't you just hold out or just keep one, sell four, keep one? And apparently didn't get paid for it. And then, you know, there you go. And then gets caught in the end and goes to prison and shit like that. What they ought to do with people like that is employ them a la Catch Me If You Can, sort of like Frank Abagnale Jr., and employ them as security advisors to places with, like, fucking expensive paintings and statues. And I don't think many statues get, you know, stolen. Nobody's taking, you know, Michelangelo's David. You know, nobody's putting that under their fucking trench coat, are they, and sneaking that out? Was it Michelangelo's David? Let's have a look. I'm sure it is. Was it? Yeah. They've got incredibly small penises back then. What was all that about? Yeah, here he goes. Oh, Benny Big Bollocks. That's my critique of the statue Michelangelo David. He's got a small dick. I don't know. They're all right, aren't they? They all kind of look the same, don't they? It's difficult to get excited about that sort of thing. I always find. I mean, some pictures you see are fucking amazing in galleries and that, but they become, you know, much of a muchness, don't they? Somebody's put their heart and soul. You go to a museum or an art gallery and you want to see the famous shit, don't you? And then everything else is just filler, really, isn't it? You want to see the famous. Like when I went to Chicago, I went to see Nighthawks and I went and see American Gothic. And then everything else, there was a few Dali paintings that I looked at. And then everything else is just, you know, it's just clutter, isn't it? Really. They could sell fucking loads of it. Every art gallery ought to be just like maybe two rooms, shouldn't it? One room with all the decent shit, the famous shit that everybody wants to see. And then another room where you can sort of like buy souvenirs. That should be every single art gallery. And the rest of the stuff is just put into storage. That's it. It should be a quick trip, but you have to walk through fucking everything to get to everywhere else, to get to the good stuff, don't you? It's very much like a relationship. You have to walk through all the shit to get to the good stuff. What better way to end this podcast episode than that, on that analogy? That is, it's episode three. That is the end of episode 311. I don't know why I'm still saying the episodes. I don't know. I don't know. I'll probably drop that as well soon. We need to start off. We need to find a new start, don't we? That we can say repetitively every week. Have OCD much, Ben? No, no, I don't. Anyway, I shall be back next Sunday, motherfuckers. Have a great week. I hope the rest of your Sunday goes well, and I shall speak to you then. Take care.